Breadbox Media Programming is brought to you by
Natalie and Aaron met on CatholicSingles.com after they realized that they needed to find someone who shared their faith. Meet other faithful Catholics on the original Catholic dating site. Download our app today for free.
Looking for a way to build daily prayer discipline? Seen the rise in mindfulness meditation, but not sure if it is possible to meditate in a way that's consistent with your Catholic faith? Just looking for a way to breathe new life into your existing prayer routine? No matter what you're looking for, Hollow is here to help. Hollow is a Catholic prayer and meditation app that helps users deepen their relationship with God through audio-guided contemplative prayer sessions. From meditations on the daily gospel, to the rosary, to daily examines, Hollow has something for everyone. Hollow is the number one Catholic app in the U.S. It is free to download and has permanently free content, but you can also check out all of the premium sessions for 30 days, risk-free, by signing up at www.hollow.app/breadbox.
Today, I am here to give you the assurance that I have not forgotten you.
If we want to see the new evangelization become more than just jargon, if we want to see it grow legs and gain traction and change the world, we have got to take seriously our responsibilities as husbands and fathers, and especially as sons of God.
I want to propose to you then that something that our world is desperately in need of in the midst of this crisis is Catholic Christian masculinity.
If you want to be a good father, then bring your children to confession with you.
I can't get there unless I become a man of ascesis, a man of asceticism, a man of training.
A man not doing penance, a man not disciplined, is not a man.
You guys have upped your game.
You know what, guys, I gotta say, I love this concept of Man Show.
Warning, the Catholic Man Show is about to begin.
Welcome to the Catholic Man Show. We're on the Lord's team, the winning side, so raise your glass. Adam Minahan here, thankful to be sitting with my best bud, David Niles.
Thank you.
I'm glad that you decided to get out of the hospital.
Yeah. Yeah, I took a vacation.
You took a vacation?
Yeah, the reviews looked good online.
Mm-hmm. Well, the thing is, though, Dave...
The food was just okay.
The food was just okay?
Yeah, yeah.
The thing, though, is, man... You know, you really upped your game for Lent the first 2 weeks, and now it's like all downhill.
What are you going to do now?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah,
like you can't peak early.
Yeah,
you know, what are you going to do for Holy Week?
Yeah, so
I don't know. I'm going to have to figure that out.
How was the service, by the way?
The service was good.
Oh, good.
Actually, the service was really good. You know, like you just pick up a phone and they bring you opioids.
That's awesome.
It was that's good service, yeah. You know?
And without even saying anything,
it's all totally fine. Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
Totally legal as well.
Yeah. I mean, it's all legit. It's on the up and up.
Yeah. So, but you're feeling good.
Feeling great.
Yeah. Are you going to take any shots to the body anytime soon? You're
sure.
Get into the ring?
No problem.
So do you have like any bionic parts?
No, I don't actually.
Okay.
So just in case, for people who don't know, I had a collapsed lung a couple weeks ago and, that was unexpected. In fact, it was the day after we recorded our last episode. Thank you.
Hit something on your nose.
Thank you.
It was driving me crazy.
Good looking out. Good looking out.
Yeah. And on the last episode, I had talked about how I had been praying, Lord, I am willing to suffer yet more.
Mm.
And so I had been praying that for like 3 days. Mm. And then I had this collapsed lung, went into the hospital, and they put a chest tube in to resolve the issue. And there is no shortage of suffering involved with a chest tube. It doesn't hurt unless you move or breathe. So as long as you're not doing one of those two things, it's fine actually. But if you choose to do,
but turns out you do have to breathe.
Right. Yeah. But if you engage your free will and decide to move or breathe, then there will be suffering involved.
Prayer's answer.
Glorious suffering. Yeah. Yes.
So do you still have like a hole in your, like what's going on? What's going on in, like in this region of your body?
I have like, well, now it's closed. The hole was very small.
Okay.
So.
Is it closed up?
Mm-hmm. Now it has.
Did they have stitches? Did they stitch it up or? Uh-huh. They no, just it was, super glued
it's small enough so that they just put a bandage over it and it closes.
Nice.
Yeah.
We haven't introduced our guest yet. We're super bad at yes. as being hosts. John, I'm so glad you're here. Dude, I'm sorry we did not introduce. We were like 3 minutes in, haven't introduced our guest. What are we doing? We're a little rusty. I'm sorry.
We're welcome him back.
How selfish.
Yeah, super selfish. John Sablon from World Ablaze is here in studio with us all the way from California. John, thank you for being with us.
I'm blessed and honored to be with you, brothers, to be in the studio. Mm-hmm.
You gave a dynamite talk yesterday on the domestic church. You pulled references from the apostolic letter that our bishop gave from Bishop David Kondrula. I mean, you integrated that well. I mean, it was a phenomenal talk. Yeah. Yeah, it was very well received.
Thank you, brother.
Yeah. So tell us a little bit about World Ablaze, what you got going on.
Yeah, World Ablaze is a nonprofit Catholic apostolate that's really dedicated to faith formation and evangelization. So we started primarily with conferences. We started with men's conferences, and now we're up to, we'll have five conferences this year. So we'll be up to 15 conferences, and really we focus on the domestic church. So we started with a men's conference, then we moved to a women's conference, then we moved to a family conference. We added a vocations conference to promote both vocations, religious life
and
marriage life, as well as single life. And we just added this year, because of the state of the world and the church, a spiritual warfare conference. So really it's just trying to bring to our diocese, it's our effort. My wife and I, another couple friend of ours, as well as a priest friend of ours, we wanted to be able to serve our local diocese, because we always had to drive to different places. Mm-hmm. I'm in Northern California, so you had to drive either to LA or to the San Francisco Archdiocese or somewhere further. So we're like, why do we need to do that? Why don't we just start our own grassroots effort? So that's what World Ablaze is really about. Takes its name from, as you see, the Dominican cross. I'm a Third Order Life Professed Dominican along with my wife. So it takes its name from the 14th century Saint Catherine of Siena. Mm-hmm. If you are who God made you to be, you'd set the world ablaze.
Talk about a warrior.
Yeah. Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
To bring the Pope back after 65 years in Avignon, France, right? Yeah. To be able to like be a man. Speaking of manhood, be a man and get your butt back
right.
to home.
Yeah. No kidding. Yeah. Coming like a woman is calling out, you know, like, but people, exorcists used to drive, like if they had someone that they were trying to exorcise, they would drive them just by. And because often if she glanced out the window and saw the person, that was enough to liberate the person from their possession, just a glance, because she was so holy.
Oh, yeah. I believe it. Yeah. I mean, and unbeknownst to my wife and I, we were actually married on her feast day. So
that is awesome. I love when those things happen.
I'm sure that's just a coincidence.
Oh, sure. Yeah, right. Totally. I mean, it just happened to be that, you know, the stars aligned.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.
You know, but we actually incorporated World Ablaze on her feast day to kind of honor that. So we'll be incorporated here 4 years. In this April. So we're just really grateful to be able to do the work of God. And seems like this last year, things have really starting to take catapult forward, and just World Ablaze actually going not just local, but even global with the content that we're putting on. So we'll see what the Lord does, you know.
Sure.
At one point during that journey, I thought we were going to have to just kind of shut it down. And then the Lord said, nope, not ready for that. So
psych.
Yep. Not doing it.
Right.
We did a phenomenal job. If you guys are listening, considering hiring somebody to come out to your parish, Lenten Mission, any kind of men's conference or anything like that, highly suggest getting a hold of John.
What's your favorite thing to speak on? Like, what would you say is your sweet spot of? I'm not trying to typecast you. You know, as a speaker.
Yes, you are.
No, I'm not. I'm just curious. I'm really just curious. Yeah.
So I would say there's a couple. If I was to narrow it down to maybe the top three, definitely the power and transformative power of God's love. Just you know, we're gonna be talking a little bit about that today, but just my own conversion story.
Yeah.
So recognizing what happens when you surrender your life to God and what that means and what that looks like actually. Yeah. Definitely the domestic church. I think it's my own personal experience and what I come from and what I live today. So anything that's focused around the family, I believe very much, as we spoke about last night, that the problems of the world are related to the problems of the church, and the problems of the church are related to the problems of the family, and the problems of the family are related to the problems of marriage and as we talked about last night, the problems of marriage are typically related to the problems with the guy.
Yeah.
Right. Us knuckleheads. So, of course, so men's spirituality, and then, of course, evangelization, right? Just how do we become missionary disciples? How do we help? I mean, what's the true sign of a disciple? A disciple makes disciples. So I would say those are kind of the top three.
And, you know, like we have that call to make new disciples. I found it's a lot easier just to have a lot of kids than it is to convert anybody. Yeah. So, like... There's different approaches to doing that. Like if I could just create 10 Christians before I die, that would be a life well lived. I'll just have 10 kids and baptize them all. Yeah.
Nice.
Check.
So, you know, to honor tradition, let's talk a little bit about what we're drinking. This. So if this is your first time to listen to Catholic Man Show, we typically open, review, and enjoy a drink. And then we highlight a gear and get into a topic. But today, because we have a special guest, we're going to jump into the topic basically here in just a couple of seconds. We just had an
what are we drinking? Member's Mark purified water? Where? What is Member's Mark? I've never heard of that.
That's like Sam's or Costco.
Oh, well, it's mineral enhanced for taste. And good. The taste of this water.
It feels wet.
Man, there is
just... You had a cafe Americano is what you had. My wife was very gracious enough to supply us all with a cafe Americano.
I do like, I'm a fan of the Americano, actually.
All it is
I don't know why. It's like, let's concentrate the coffee so that we can water it down. You know,
sounds very Americano.
Right. Yeah, exactly.
But it's very good. I already had mine. I had mine waiting on.
I had a Mexican coffee.
God bless Haley for.
Yes.
Pouring us this cup.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. Mm-hmm. So that's what we're drinking this morning. It's also morning time, so you know, to like have a scotch in the morning is probably not prudent at times.
That's what other people say anyway, and so
we're abiding by the rules.
We don't want to scandalize anybody.
Right. So we're not doing that. John, it's give your website at worldablaze.org.
Yeah, it's worldablaze.org. Yeah. The other best way probably to go to is johnsablan.com. So just johnsablan.com. And you can get to World Ablaze from there as well.
You've got the thing that, you know, if you want to market yourself, your name already rhymes.
Yeah, right.
You know, like John Sablan, that is a celebrity name. If you know what I mean? Like,
it
you
just
know, people
rolls off the tongue.
When if they try to pursue fame, they'll change their name to being something that sounds better than whatever their parents gave them. Well, like they're trying to shoot for what you already got, I think.
Yeah. I was actually gonna write my name into the voting, the election. Just to see what would happen if people just kinda caught on to John Sablan for that very reason.
Yeah. Yeah, okay.
Good idea. It could work.
It could, maybe.
Yeah, like, ooh, I like that guy. Yeah. I don't know why. Yeah. Just feels good.
It feels like it's there's a rhythm to that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
It makes sense.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So when we get back, we're gonna talk about something we've never talked about before. We've had guys ask us to talk about it, but we haven't had the right guest, really, I think. And so we're gonna talk about Father Wound and how to heal from that and what it is, because honestly, I didn't even know what it was when somebody asked me about it. I was like, I'm not really sure what you mean by this. So we'll jump into that. We're here with John Sablan. We will be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan and Mr. John Sablan from worldablaze.org. Okay, so typically, sometimes we talk about a man gear. We're foregoing the man gear today and jumping right into the topic. This is a big topic.
Mm-hmm. Which is why we're...
The father wound.
So let's talk about this. When Dave and I first started the show, we were asking for ideas. I'm like, hey, you guys are listening. Good. What do you think we should talk about? And we had an email come in. We've had several emails come in and say, hey, can you talk about the father wound? When that first happened and I got that email, I remember calling our good friend, Father Brian O'Brien. I go, I'm not sure what he's really asking because I don't know what that means. And so then I obviously then he told me and I obviously realized, OK, so we're talking. Why don't you explain it? It'd probably be better from you.
I mean, it's obviously self-explanatory in the sense of the father wound, but with, if you never had that experience, it's a wound from your father.
Mm-hmm. Right. And like, I just didn't even think like,
So without
fathers are hurting their kids. Like right, that's
yeah.
not, that's
yeah. What does yeah. it, does it mean? Is it a black eye? Is it, what does that mean?
Right,
is,
father, yeah.
is it a back end? No, yeah. I mean,
is
it's
this
really
a good thing. Like, is this discipline?
Discipline? Yeah. Yeah. Discipline.
Discipline.
No, I think it's the wounds and the pain and the suffering at the hands of your earthly father. Mm-hmm. And I think that's the, you know, we had obviously a discussion about in preparing for this show, and it's part of the core message. I mean, it's really how I led with the testimony even last night, right? When people first are introduced to the person, John Sablon, they're hearing about that father wound and the effect that it had on me, on my family of origin, on top of how that, you know, how that basically came into my own nuclear family, you know, mm-hmm. my family now. So it's very real, and it's a lot of people are going through it, especially in today's world and culture, because of the attack on marriage and family, specifically through the father. And you know, failed male leadership is a real thing we're experiencing for the first time in our era. The father wound, both in society and the culture, as well as in Holy Mother Church, and we talked about that last night as well. So I would just say it's the wounds, the suffering, the pains at the hands of fathers.
Yeah.
Primarily, obviously, the biological fathers, but that could be a spiritual father as well. Like I said, we're dealing with it in both cases, both spiritually and in the familial sense.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, because the father plays a very, very important role in the life of a child. Mm-hmm. You know, I think maybe a good analogy is just the definition of evil. Evil is not a positive thing that exists. Mm-hmm. It's the lack of a good.
Yeah, negation. Yeah.
Right. So it's a good that should exist that doesn't. So this void, that is what evil is. And the father wound is similar to that, because the father is supposed to provide a good in the life of the child. Mm-hmm. There's something that he's supposed to, you know, whether it's instruction, whether it's a feeling of safety or love or, being approved of, you know, whatever it is, the child grows up with that absence in their life. Mm-hmm. And that is really, I think, what creates the wound. It's not, it could be, you know, your dad is an alcoholic, you know, kind of like what you talked about last night. And that can create a whole brand of different types of wounds. But it doesn't have to be, you know, like my dad beat me or right. something quite like that. Mm-hmm. That would obviously create, you know, something that's a father wound as well. Mm-hmm. But it could be anything in that vein, just an absent father as well as.
Yeah, that's a great point, David. It's like, it's not just the physical aspect of it. Mm-hmm. Obviously, those are real, but honestly, it's probably not to diminish the physical abuse of things.
Right.
But the things that last even far beyond that is the mental, emotional, and spiritual wounds that are associated with that. So whether or not you're physically wounded by a father, a lot of the times it's actually the mental, emotional, and spiritual wounds that you have that affect you long after.
Sure.
Any type of physical abuse would have occurred.
Yeah, and I think it's probably far more common for just the absent fatherhood than it is the physical abuse or whatever. But yeah, I mean, that not to diminish that at all.
Yeah, unfortunately for me, right, I experienced all of it.
Right.
So I got to, you know, I didn't get to. Unfortunately, I went through the experience of, yeah, right. It's not like it's like, oh, you got to, man. That's awesome.
Wow,
that's awesome.
Yeah.
What a privilege.
So,
how do I sign up for that? No, I experienced, you know, physical, mental, emotional abuse.
Right.
And from my earthly father. And, you know, that being said, the things that carried on into my adolescence and my adult years were nothing to do with the physical part of it. And a matter of fact, a lot of times he would say, you know, I'd rather, if I'm going to get in trouble, I'd rather just take the physical beating than everything else.
Right.
Right. I mean, I'll heal from that. Mm-hmm. But the trauma and the everything else, the psychological effect that it has on you, you know, it stays with us. Even when we think, I mean, I, for a long time, fellas, I did not realize how wounded I was by my father. That was probably if I was to make one of the key statements to those that are listening, the men out there, is a lot of us are walking around out there, don't even realize we have father wounds. And until you to start to identify that and face that mirror and face that reality, you can't begin the healing process because we just bury it, tuck it away. Just it's in our nature, right? To just kind of, you know, we're so caught up in the external aspect of our life rather than being introspective. Like women are more likely to be introspective and turn inward and kind of reflect. Whereas we're like, no, I'm the man. And so there's a lot of men out there, especially in my encounters with men, through men's conferences and other speaking aspects, that don't even realize they have one until it's brought to their attention through my testimony or through the topic of father wounds, you know?
So what was your idea of what a father was growing up? Because if if you're saying you've been abused in multiple facets, growing up, what was your idea of what a father was?
Very much in my
was he absent at all? Was he still there?
Great question, because sometimes just the physical presence of a father doesn't mean that he's present, right? So that's part of the issues. We have plenty of fathers who are present in the home that aren't there emotionally, spiritually, mentally for their wife, for the wife or the children. Mm-hmm. So I had a father who was present in the home. So my idea of fatherhood is really that of a tyrant. So he ruled with an iron fist. My father was an alcoholic. So anybody who's ever dealt with that understands the trauma, humiliation, and just the anxiety, right? Mm-hmm. You didn't know what you were going to get that day. You just knew it wasn't going to be good.
Right.
Because we knew dad was going to come home and he's going to be drunk. That's just every day.
Yeah. What's going to set him off?
Yeah. What's going to set him off? So a lot of the things that we did was to make sure that we could try to safeguard setting him off.
Eggshells. Walking on eggshells all the time. Right.
And to give you an example of how that affects you in your life. Well, what do I do when I started my own family? I made sure that things were in order. So I did things not out of true charity and service to my wife or to my kids, but because of that conditioning to just say, well, I don't want to set anybody off.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You overcompensate.
Yeah. Overcompensate, and then there's just so much that the devil works on in you to say, well, look, so then he jumps on that, the evil one, and is like, well, look, they don't even appreciate you. Mm-hmm. But I'm doing all of these things, like, you know, if you know anything about love languages, you know, I did a lot of charitable acts through service, but it was really not charitable because I was doing it because of my own experience as a child to make sure things aren't out of order. It was just my natural response.
Right. And that's a good example of you didn't realize, you weren't trying. It's not like you were consciously saying, I'm wounded and this is how I'm compensating for my wound. Yeah. You just thought, I'm going to make things better you're just trying to do what you thought was good.
Yeah.
But it's because of your sense of good, you know, especially as a role of as a father was distorted because of your own father.
Yeah. Not realizing that's where it stemmed from. So just to use that as an example, because this is like tangible to people. Mm-hmm. So if I was always, you know, making sure that I set up the table and then things were, nothing was out of place because you wanted to try to avoid the abuse. Well, I took that into my own family life and I'm just like, I want to make sure, like my wife, I'm gonna iron clothes, I'm going to cook clean, get you gas and everything else. That's how I thought I was communicating love, but really it was an effect of my own experience with the abuse. My wife's love language is quality time.
Ah, so she didn't actually care about all the things you were doing for
and
her.
And my love language is physical touch. Uh-huh. So it's like we're speaking German, French, and Chinese in our house, and we don't understand why nobody gets each other, right?
Right.
So I'm thinking through my own natural instinct to just walk on eggshells that I'm communicating love to you by acts of service. She needs quality time. I'm not giving her quality time.
I'm too busy doing the service.
Doing the service and other things. Just, you know,
she wants to do the dishes with you and go, like, let's go get gas together. Yeah. Right.
And I need physical touch, and she's not going to want to touch me if I'm not spending time with her.
Right.
But I'm telling you, what are you talking about? I'm doing all of these things for you.
Yeah.
So that's one example of how that experience led to really some difficult times in the family life.
Yeah.
Because I didn't realize where it stemmed from.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that would be an example of the father wound. But, you know, for me, going back to your question, though, it was very much a tyrant and a dictator. It wasn't one of mercy. It wasn't one that there was just a dichotomy, you know. And so what happened in that sense is we turned to the rest of the world to see what manhood was like. And, you know, we know what we're experiencing today. False bravado.
Right.
Womanizing, objectification, abdication of any responsibilities as a man.
Yeah. Effeminacy in men, not feminacy, but effeminacy.
Yeah.
Right.
So you look at the Charlie Sheens of the world, the Al Bundys of the world, the Homer Simpsons of the world, just totally aloof, disengaged, disconnected from anything associated with it. So that was what was conditioning my experience of what manhood was supposed to be, was looking to the culture, because internally it was a tyrant, non-merciful, totally disengaged. I mean, if the people that are supposed to protect you don't, you know,
and this wound, and you're not turning to God to fill it up, you're going to fill it up with something. You're going to find something to fill it up. Amen. And if it's not God, it's not a good thing.
Mm-hmm. Right. And if you're growing up without a shelter, then you have to learn to protect yourself. What does that teach a kid? Strike first.
Mm-hmm.
You strike first. So before you can get hurt, you know, like, so you end up hurting other people because you're afraid to get hurt. Mm-hmm. You know, it's kind of what you mentioned, hurt people. Right.
Yeah. And I think what we don't realize is that the experience with our earthly father actually affects our ability to experience the heavenly father.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's what I was hoping to get into as well. Like the ramifications of, because as a father, we're supposed to emulate what our heavenly father is. And if you have a bad earthly father, it's going to be hard for you to connect with our heavenly father.
Amen.
So when we get back, we'll jump back into this with John Sablon from World Ablaze, worldablaze.org or johnsablon.com. Dave, I'll let you take us out.
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass. Raise your plastic bottle. So, Adam, you've never been to Rome.
I know.
I keep telling you, you have to drop what you're doing and go.
Dude, it's on my bucket list.
It's on the bucket list. I know, man. Look, you've got St. Peter's Basilica. You've got Assisi, which is just a day trip away. I mean, the whole faith is just right there. Around every single corner in Rome is another church that will just blow your mind.
I know. So, if you're like me, you want to go to Rome, but you don't know where to begin, check out our show notes. There's a banner that says Select International Tours. Click that banner. They know how to turn your bucket list into reality. They've been doing this for over 30 years, so they know what they're doing. Check it out. That's Select International Tours.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. Here with John Sablon today and our good friend David. He's back from the hospital. Good to be back. Oh, we have also have Jim and Juan on the buttons. So we have a full house today. Thankful for to have everybody here. John, we're talking about the father's wound. Mm-hmm. And right before the break, we were talking about the ramifications that it would have spiritually with having a father's wound, especially having the idea of a your earthly father, if it's perverted or like distorted, it's going to affect the way you view our heavenly father. Mm-hmm. How was your prayer life at the time when things were chaotic in your house? Did you have a prayer life at all? Was it you told a story yesterday about how like a prayer life kind of saved saved you from possibly death. Mm-hmm. So how was your prayer life at that time?
You know, I would say it was very conflicted. Right. I think there was always a desire that's written into our hearts to reach out to God, but mm-hmm. had no concept of what that meant, what that felt like. Again, not realizing that I was so wounded. So I think God has been working on me for a long time, along with, you know, our Blessed Mother and Saint Joseph and many of our patron saints. But to be honest, it was just there was a dichotomy in me. Mm-hmm. And so what I wanted, so I was just struggling with so many of these wounds, so mm-hmm. many of my imperfections and temptations that that prayer seemed to lack any, it was just wasn't efficacious in my life, or at least I thought, and I God was so far removed from me, just because, again, as the point you made before the break was that we are supposed to image, we take the name Father
right
from our Heavenly Father, and when your experience is that meaning a negative, tyrant, lacking mercy, just inflicting pain, no spiritual life, no emotion. I mean, that's what we're passing on.
Yeah.
And so I think especially for the men out there, is we are going to be the first encounter with God, specifically as God the Father, to our wives and our children. So if they don't see mercy from, how are you going to listen to the story of the prodigal son, the merciful father?
Yeah.
How are you going to, yeah. So prayer, it's like, it's a dialogue. It's mm-hmm. a relationship, right? So I didn't have that. And I didn't know how to have that. Of course I had, the guidelines and the structure and traditions of our church, but I didn't have that personal encounter. Mm. And I think that it was a struggle for me for a long time. Again, just walking around, not realizing how wounded I was.
Right, because if God is Father, mm-hmm. you know, and your concept of fatherhood is one of a tyrant, then it's like, well, I don't, mm-hmm. I'm going to stay away from that guy.
I don't want that.
Like, mm-hmm. I'm trying to get rid of tyrants in my life. Mm-hmm. But there's an interesting psychological phenomenon that happens in very small children. So when a child is born, the child identifies, their perception of themselves is wrapped up with their mother. Mm-hmm. So they have very difficult, they struggle, or they can't distinguish themselves from their mother into toddlerhood. So in their mind, mom and me are the same person. Mm. So the father is the very first other in the life of a child. So literally, the father represents the world. The father is the world to your children. And so what they see from their dad, this it's like ingrained at a very deep level psychologically that the way dad behaves is the way a person is supposed to act in the world, because that is, he is the, that being the first other. Mom is, mom and I were the same, but dad, like, that's the one I learned from. So there really is, I mean, that kind of goes to explain, I think, a little bit of why is it when people grow up without a father, they're so much more likely to end up in jail. You know, the list is very long about the problems that you're more likely to have if you grow up without a father. And I think it also goes to explain why people are leaving the faith so much today. Because we have a divorce culture that's rampant. I mean, you know, it's like everybody knows.
No fault divorce even. Like, you know, if I don't like you anymore, I'm just going to leave.
Yeah, exactly.
It's contract versus covenant, as we were talking about last night.
Exactly.
Right? If we're not compatible anymore, then I just trade up, trade out, trade in.
Yeah.
I mean, that's the idea. Or just go do whatever I want to do, but you're no longer of service to me.
Right. Yeah. And so if that's the way dad behaves, and if that is a reflection in your mind, even if you're not conscious of that, because once again, this is at a deep psychological level, then now you're portraying those same traits to God. Well, why have him? I'm just going to be nothing.
Oftentimes we are doing that. We're projecting that experience onto God as if he's the one responsible for it, or if he's the one who is at the, at, you know, at the root or the source of this. But one of the things you bring up, because, you know, the ramifications on the spiritual life. I mean, we've probably all heard of that study. It's, I think it was a Swedish study back in the 90s that speaks about when the father takes the, is at the helm of the spiritual life, and, the, and he's the spiritual head of the home, which he is, obviously. But the roles of the mother and the father, if the mother's leading the family in the faith, it's like single digits, 2%, right? That the kids have any likelihood of faith in adolescence or adulthood. Whereas if the father leads and even the mother is disengaged, then that swings to like anywhere greater than 65%. So just by putting the role with the father, and so people will say,
so why do you think that is?
Yeah, that was leading right into that. So this is not like a catechism paragraph or a church document, but this is what I've really pondered over the question, because people ask me that, John, why? Because it seems unfair, right? Mothers are always, so this is what
moms are holier.
Well, if you think about it, and you think about how we're created from the earth and of the dirt, and Eve was created from of within Adam. So you think
I
about
think they took all the good stuff.
They probably did, but they're more introspective, right?
That was so our moms, best rib. That was our best rib.
Well, moms by their very, the maternal aspect of within them that God gave them the ability to co-create and to actually give life and bear life, because of that intrinsic tie to the child, a bond that we will never know as fathers ever, even if we think we can self-identify that, we can't.
Right.
No matter what, I will never know what it means to bear the life the way my wife bared life with our children. And moms can agree that moms are just expected to love no matter what. Moms, just like moms are the ones, you know, faith, women are just supposed to be faithful. Who fills most of the pews today? Women. Right. They're just more open to God. Fathers, so this is the why. Fathers choose to love. Fathers choose to have faith. So in a child's eyes, mom is there always. You're one with me. You're always supposed to love me. Just basically what you just said on the psychology. You're always supposed to be there.
Because you love yourself.
Yeah. So this is, but dad chooses to love me, chooses to be present, chooses to talk to me about God, chooses to bend the knee before the Lord, chooses to read sacred scripture, chooses to be at my football game, chooses to be blah, 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 fill in the blank, chooses to open up his heart to me. Mom is just supposed to, you know, by the very fact that she's one, she's given her body. So that was kind of my reflection, if you will, of why the difference, because it seems so unfair. And, you know, I think that's part of my, that was a big part of my struggle, is my father made a choice, you know, and maybe that's a choice that he, you know, people will say, well, maybe he was doing the best. I'm never trying to demonize my family and my father.
Sure.
He comes from a generationally a lot of issues.
Yeah.
That's what happens though, is that one father leads to the next father doing the same thing.
Generational sin, right?
Generational, yeah. And you have to have somebody that's breaking that.
Yeah, I mean, I would say that's the case for both my wife and I, is that we're, you know, we always say, yeah, people were proud of us that we were first generation college students, but we're first generation cycle breakers. We broke dysfunction.
Right.
We broke abuse. We broke just so much wounds, and that's what we should be doing, right? That, you know, that's a message of hope for especially the men out there that are struggling with this, is that it's never too late to change. It's never too late to heal. It's never too late to just own that and own that decision, but do something about it. So whether you're not a father yet, or you are a father, or you're a grandfather, or you're a great-grandfather, and maybe you've contributed to that father wound. I know I have, mm-hmm. right? It's never too late. Just because children are out of your home doesn't mean you can't do something about it. But I would say it's a matter of choice. Love is a decision. We know that it's more than just an emotion. But for a father in particular, you choose whether or not, you know, you're present to your child.
Right.
Well, and I think that I mean, I think all of us, because we're all broken, we're all going to contribute in some way to a father wound. You know, we're not going to live up to what, you know, our Heavenly Father is. Right. And so we're going to have these issues where we let our kid down. Now, mm-hmm. The difference in a father wound that continues and a father wound that can start healing is a dad who realizes that they're making a mistake and comes back and says, "Son, daughter, I messed up, and mm-hmm. I did not mean to, you know, I should not have talked to you that way, or I should not mm-hmm. have handled this situation the way I did. Dad messed up, mm-hmm. and dad's going to ask mercy from God, and dad's wants you to know that I'm very sorry mm-hmm. for what I've done." Mm-hmm. That's the difference, I think, in how generational sin can happen and how you can break it. You have to mm-hmm. recognize it and then, you know, swallow your pride enough, be mm-hmm. humble enough to ask for that forgiveness. Because it's tough to, like, you know, you're trying to raise your kids. You're trying to make, you know, have them aware of when they do wrong, to make sure that they're saying they're sorry whenever they do, to have manners. Mm-hmm. It's easy to do that with little kids. And then you point it back at you, and you have to reflect on yourself and saying, well, how am I exemplifying what I'm trying to promote to my kids? Mm-hmm. And that, I think, is the deepest part of when we fall, and also it gives them an understanding of, okay, dad really is trying his best, and it gives you more weight. It gives your word more weight. It's mm-hmm. like, okay, even when he does mess up, he comes back and says, "I'm sorry."
Right.
That's how you heal the wound, right? I mean, mm-hmm. I'm assuming.
No. Yeah, I would say absolutely. I think that's a part, is the humility is really key. And even my own conversion, I had to own a lot of things with both my wife and my children. Because we can't deify our spouses or one another, right? To say our fathers or our mothers should be perfect, or our children.
Sure.
You know, we can't put that on them, project them what belongs to God in His perfect love, that we should expect that from our, we're going to set ourselves up for failures. We can't expect that from our spouses or our children.
Okay. So when we get back, maybe we can talk about, like, how we heal mm-hmm. and how we can avoid it as fathers.
Amen. Let's do that.
All right. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to the Catholic Man Show. I'm David Niles, here with Adam Minahan and John Sablon, talking about the father wound. So, John, my question for you is, at some point, you had a conversion. Your conversion came after you had children.
Mm-hmm.
I think a lot of people would say, you know, how am I supposed to turn the ship around, you know? You build up so much momentum over time, you know, headed in one direction, and now it's like, oh, I found Jesus.
Mm-hmm. I don't lay this foundation.
Right. I'm just, yeah. My kids are going to look at me like I'm a hypocrite if all of a sudden, oh, you know, and you kind of mentioned this, like,
I'm
dad,
a Jesus guy.
Dad found Jesus, and now we're all supposed to just, like, you know, change our lives. Like, I'm doing the things you taught me, Dad, and now mm-hmm. now you're telling me I'm wrong for doing the stuff that you taught me, you mm-hmm. know, like.
That's a common question. Great, great question. A common thing. And I think Adam had mentioned it. It's humility. I had to eat so much crow mm-hmm. in my house, and had to face so many failures and mistakes. And I think that's what we fear as people, but definitely as men, is accountability
yeah.
and owning it. So you best believe that during that journey, during that point where I had the conversion, that they were so used to dad saying sorry and then going back and doing something again or losing my temper or whatever it was that we were struggling with in our own family life, that it was like, yeah, we'll see how long this lasts.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Sure.
I mean, it was like, oh, okay.
Your sorry didn't really mean much.
Yeah, exactly. Because your actions spoke louder than your words.
Totally.
And you have to know that that's coming. Like, you have to realize that. And if you really are, and honestly, if you're really about the change, which is why the grace of the sacraments is so important. It helps sustain you during that journey in the desert, which seems really long and, it's just long, lonely, and difficult and impossible. Because I face that with my kids, and my wife, like, yeah, we'll see how long this lasts. Oh, Mr. Jesus now.
Yeah.
Oh, we're all about the Catholic faith now. Oh, we're going to pray the family rosary now. Okay. And it's just like, and so we would have those moments of contention and they would still come along, but they didn't, there was no, yeah, we'll see how long this lasts.
They were kind of doing like, all right, we'll do it just so we can get it over with. Yeah. And
yeah. Or, you know, I'd have my failures, right? Going through this and, you know, just realize that we're a saint isn't somebody who's perfect. It's somebody who picks himself back up. You guys know
right?
So I would have those points where I'd come home from mass or from the chapel and they know that and I'd lose my temper. And they're like, oh, how was mass? Oh, how was the chapel? Right. I deserve that. Right. And it checks you. And I had to, I mean, it was my own self-reflection. I mean, I really had to humble myself. I had to eat crow. You're right. You're right. And when I had those, I remember there was this one powerful moment and where I think there was a desire that they want to believe that you're true about it. There's a desire, of course, right? They don't want to feel like you're being inauthentic or disingenuine or a lie or lying to them. They want to feel, but they don't trust. You've broken that trust.
Right.
You failed in that leadership. So I remember this one time.
Kids want their dad to be perfect.
Of course.
You know, that's what they want.
There's a natural desire.
Right. They want to be able to, like, dad was awesome. Like I'm so proud of dad. Mm-hmm. You know, like, he was the perfect man.
Isn't that how the whole game in kindergarten of my dad can beat up your dad started?
Maybe. Yeah.
It's like, hey, just bring your dad because my dad would just my faster, stronger, smarter. Well, I think that's reserved for God. I think that's the part where we're trying to help people, saying, look, that expectation you have, just like you want your spouse to be perfect, right? You're looking at the dress in the window. You know? You're not looking when it's on, where it needs some alteration and some modification. So that idea of deifying our spouses or our parents or our children, that's reserved for God alone because he's the only one that's perfect.
Right.
And I think that's the challenge we get into, is when we expect our fathers, our mothers, our children, or our, you know, spouses to be perfect and without failure. So when we do fall, we have to own it and we have to make reparation and we have to make it right. But there was this one particular moment. I remember my son told me, we had a challenge. This is my oldest son. I've told the story numerous times, so he's very aware of it. But he pointed, he said, you know what, Dad? I want to believe, and he taps me in my heart. I want to believe that inside here has changed. But you have to understand that this hasn't. So some of the facial expressions you make, some of the mannerisms that you have are still reminders of what I experienced with old Dad. But I want to believe that your heart's been changed for Christ.
Wow.
Right? And it's
very insightful.
What a mature, what a grace for you as a dad to have wisdom poured out upon you from the one you're trying to lead, you know?
Amen. And honestly, me and my oldest said, we used to butt heads the most. He's the middle child. I was the middle child. And there was a lot there. And it was just like, it really humbled me because I didn't see it from their perspective. Mm-hmm. I figured, I'm trying.
Right.
Right. I'm trying to do. Can't you see all that that's with us as men? Right. Can't you see all the things I'm doing? And it's like, you're not listening. Right. And so when you start to see, I think just own it. Just own it. Own it. Own it. Own it. And be ready for that journey.
Right.
And once you start to build, just like, you know, trust is easy to lose, hard to gain back. And recognize that you're going to have to, your actions are going to have to be congruent with your words, more so than you even ever imagine. And I think so for those out there, it's like, humble yourself. Mm-hmm. Be ready to eat crow. But if you're really about it, I would tell my wife and my kids, you know, I know I haven't been the perfect husband. I know I haven't been the perfect father, but I'm going to spend every breath that God allows me to breathe from here on out, making reparation for that and doing a better job. That you are that important to me that I'm going to ask the Lord to transform me, right? You know, be transformed by the renewal of your mind, really. right? By the way I think, by the way I feel, by the way I speak, the way I act. And the more you immerse yourself in the sacraments and the grace of the sacraments, the easier that becomes.
Right. Okay, yeah, so that I think that hits the nail on the head, is that I haven't been the dad that you need me to be, but I'm not, just because I haven't been, I'm not going to let that happen in one more day. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm going to be the dad you need me to be. Mm-hmm. I don't care what it costs, mm-hmm. because you need mm-hmm. me to be this person. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm not just going to keep perpetuating because, oh, it's hard.
Mm-hmm.
Oh.
But again, going back to that point I made about it's a decision now.
Right.
Mm-hmm. That choosing to love is a decision, even when you don't love me back, even mm-hmm. when you don't, I don't get the desired response, even when you don't believe me, even when the everything's against me, that I'm going to choose to love regardless. That's true love. Mm-hmm. That's the cross. Right. That's a crucifixion type love.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
And if our wives and our kids can see that, that even when you're like, yeah, okay, I do it anyway.
Yeah. That's the good thing about it. It's like, yeah, is it hard? Yeah. But you know what? Praise God, you were made to do hard things. You're mm-hmm. a man.
Amen.
You're made for hard stuff, okay?
Yeah, but okay, so your battle plan has to change, right? So if you've decided, like, I'm going to change, like, I failed you, but now now that the tide has turned. Mm-hmm. But that means interiorly, you have to change your game plan. Like, mm-hmm. you can say all these things, and that sounds really good, but mm-hmm. if dad's taking it seriously, his spirituality has to change.
Amen.
In order to conquer these vices, you have to cooperate with God's grace, and you have to present yourself to God more often. How did you do that as a dad? When you realized, okay, I'm changing, mm-hmm. you can show all this stuff outside, but you have to do stuff on you. How mm-hmm. you have to change your game plan.
Yeah, I started owning my faith. So a couple of things out there, because I know we're always pressed for time. But for those of us that have went through similar type of issues, if there's mental health, if there's counseling that's needed, get it.
Yeah.
Get mm-hmm. good professional help. Work through those wounds, heal them. Mm-hmm. Do not think that you can tuck them underneath the rug. Do not think, oh, I'm over it, because it'll manifest itself in ugly behavior,
right,
or in some other form. So get rid of that. The other thing is, look, you know, reflect on your life. What have been your big wounds? What are your big issues? What was your familial relationship like with your father, with your mother growing up? How did you experience love? Where is God in all of this? And you got to find a really good spiritual director and work through that. But so it's going to take a lot of work. That's part of the battle plan, mental health counseling, if necessary, spiritual direction, your own diving in internally. What is your prayer life like? You know, are you spending time in the Word of God? Are you exercising the sacraments? I mean, you guys heard my story enough to where it's like, you know, I had real big, you know, demons in me. I needed the deliverance prayer prayed over me, right? And sought the, and that was through the grace of the priest, through the sacrament of confession, of reconciliation, mm-hmm. that I needed the grace of that sacraments for those bonds to be broken, the chains of the evil one to be obliterated. And that allowed me. So why couldn't I get through this before? Well, I didn't have the grace of the sacraments.
Right. Grace is real. Right.
Grace is absolutely real. So there's that aspect. And it's like, what is the battle plan? You know, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? So what are you going to do every day to grow in your relationship to God? Regardless of what everyone else is doing in your house, regardless of whether they believe you, are you spending time growing closer to our Lord? Are you becoming Christ? Mm-hmm. Right? Are you a man after God's own heart? And your actions should prove it. To your point, Adam, if you're not doing it on the interior level, prayer life is the fundamental staple of our faith. If you think you're going to do this outside of prayer and outside of the sacraments, you're kidding yourself. You're a fool. Forget about it. Don't even try it. Mm-hmm. Right? But you're going to have to mm-hmm. be very active in staying in the sacred word of God, exercising the sacraments. What is your prayer life like? So are you praying? Just start off with dialogue.
Right. Yeah.
And then start to work on that relationship with your spouse. And are you praying together, praying for each other? Are you doing that with your kids? Are you praying together? Are you praying for each other? Right? And then I would say start to get that will in check.
Okay, so we just got a couple minutes left.
Yeah.
When you were doing this, I think a lot of people would say, all right, yeah, I want to be a good dad, but I don't know how. I don't know how. Mm-hmm. I don't know what to do. There are situations where I don't know what a good dad would do mm-hmm. right now. Mm-hmm. So did you have a mentor or a buddy, or you mentioned a spiritual director? I mean, mm-hmm. What did you do? Because, you know, there's information that someone says, I'm missing.
Yeah.
I don't know how to behave.
Yeah. So real quick, because I had my spiritual director and a priest friend of mine who's been with me through everything. He's gave us all the sacraments for the most part, all mm-hmm. my kids. He's been with me through Hades and back.
Yeah.
He was definitely a spiritual father to me. He mm-hmm. led me in the right. He challenged me where I needed to be challenged. I think it's good to find a priest that way, but I think you need to find other men that emulate the characteristics and the attributes of holiness and virtues of a good husband and a good father. That needs to be, we can't do this on our own.
Right.
We cannot do it on our own. So find other men that are ahead of the game in you that you can use as a resource and a lifeline.
Yeah. Amen.
Dude, John, I'm so glad you came here today. Only thing is, you gotta promise you'll come back.
Absolutely.
You in?
I'll have you. I'll be back as long as you'll have me.
All right.
All right.
Very good. Well, go check out John, johnsablon.com. Have him out to your parish retreat or the next men's conference that you guys are putting on. Dave, anything else?
We're on the Lord's team.
The winning side.
So raise your glass and cheers to Jesus.
Cheers to Jesus.
Should it ever get...
Yeah, you know, interestingly enough, I remember getting a text from one of my siblings that said, would you ever want to know if Dad was going to die? That's what I got, a text. And I'm like, yeah. And basically, he had got diagnosed with stage 4 lung cancer and was on his deathbed. And so I had to make a choice literally within... I think he was diagnosed February 2nd, and he died March 7th.
Wow.
So in that time frame, I had to make the choice. And thanks be to God for my awesome wife.
Was this post-conversion? Was this AD?
It was on the way.
You're going through the thick of it.
Yeah, I'm in the thick of the struggle.
Right.
And thanks be to God for my wife who said, you cannot not go see your dad.
Yeah.
That's just not...
She was right.
She was absolutely...
As you know. Yeah.
She was absolutely right. And so in that time, I got... I sucked it up, and I just... It was a way to witness to my kids as well, the mercy and forgiveness, and not to harbor that hate and resentment. And so I went to go see him, and in his few words, I remember him saying when I was sitting next to him at one of the times of just visiting during that month, he had said, I know I haven't always been the best father. And that was literally it. That was the only, it was like side to side, not even making eye contact. And just, I know I haven't always been the best father. And in a way, at least this is what I tell myself, is that's his way of trying to own all of
it. Yeah, totally. Yeah.
And then when he was on his deathbed, he was in the hospital, basically going into a coma. They asked me to lead in a rosary, and it was leading in the, it was, he held on to life to when everybody got there and until we finished that rosary.
And then he died.
Wow. What a grace.
Yeah. So, you know, you just pray. You never know, but that's why you keep praying. And, you know, I think it's a process for a lot of people. When I say, I was talking to Juan about this last night. Did you forgive your father? I said, you know, I forgave him. I'm forgiving him and I will forgive. Mm-hmm. It's a process.
Sure.
And so just allow yourself that time to where, because I don't want that on my heart.
No.
I want to go to heaven. And if he's there, praise be to Jesus, you know, but I need to focus on getting me there, my wife and my kids there. So yeah, it's been a journey and it still is because at certain times it feels heavy. At other times I feel like I'm fine. And other times it's somewhere in between.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's incredible. I mean, but what a grace to hear him say that. I haven't been the best, you know, that's it. He didn't come out and say, please forgive me.
Yeah.
You know, those words go a long way, but you know, people are where they are and Christ knows that. And Christ,
God knows his heart.
He just needs, Christ just needs a crack to get in, you know, and that's more than a crack right there, you know?
Yeah.
No doubt.
So
absolutely.
Praise God.
Cool. We good?
I feel silly trying to make up prayers myself. My mind starts to wander as I'm speaking to God. I just don't have time to pray. Do you recognize yourself in any of these statements? If so, we have a book for you. In Pray Fully, best-selling authors Michelle Fanley and Emily Jaminet share the rewards and frustrations of their own prayer journeys to create a practical guide that combines testimonies, tips, and journaling space to help you spend quality time with God. Whether you want to learn how to pray aloud in a group or stop your mind from wandering during prayer, Fanley and Jaminet have practical advice and the real-life experience to help you overcome obstacles to everyday prayer. Head over to AveMariaPress.com and use code LEARN2PRAY. That's learn, the number 2, pray, to get 20% off your copy today. Looking for exceptional coffee delivered fresh to your door? We have the answer. Our friends at Grim Bean Coffee produce small batch artisan coffee using top tier coffee beans. The coffee is roasted when you order, guaranteeing the freshest coffee possible. Check out Breadbox Roasts, a new line of Catholic-themed coffees, available at www.grimbeancoffee.com/Breadbox Media. Experience coffee like never before.